It's live, expert money and real estate advice every Sunday. Elise Glink is on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
Atlanta, and welcome back to the Elise Glink Show, live on Sundays here on News Talk WSB. I have to start where I left off at 5:59 p.m. on Friday, when the call center was going crazy, when we all thought that Clark Howard would be shaving his head live on air because somebody was going to donate $50,000 to the 12th annual Aflac Cancer Center and Blood Disorder Service, Children's Healthcare of Atlanta, our carathon. 36 hours, it was crazy. And you came through big time. And I have to tell you that the fact that we all collectively in Atlanta, that you individually picked up the phone and you donated $1.5 million in 36 hours for the WSB Carathon is nothing short of astonishing. You blew past our wildest expectations. I wish you could have been there with me in the call center. This is an idea for next year. I'm going to have a live feed from the call center and tweet pictures or something. Tweet video of it, where we watched the calls come in and people were so generous. You were so generous. It took our breath away. And then when I was with Walter on Thursday night at the hospital, wandering around the halls, and we thought to ourselves, Walter and I were having this conversation off air, we could not believe that in the 12 years, we've already donated $12 million, and now we're somewhere around $13.5 million to cure cancer in kids. And when we started this 12 years ago, I mean, you can see the positive outcomes in 12 years, where the percentage of kids that walk out and get to lead a life, it was like 75%, and now it's 80%, and those kids get to grow up and become listeners of the station, hopefully. No, seriously, they get to grow up, and they get to do that because of you. And so from the bottom of my heart, my two favorite days of the year, I just have to say thank you for caring and sharing, and in a time when our economy is still not back to where it should be, you reach deep and you gave, whether it was $5 or $5,000. We are so deeply grateful. If you want to still participate, you can donate through the weekend, WSBRadio.com. You'll see that the total officially right now, $1,522,000 and change, up on our website. We'll be updating that probably tomorrow. There's usually quite a lot of donations that come in over the weekend. But as we went off the air, and I said, oh my gosh, we're still adding it up. It was just mayhem in the best possible sense. So I've had a smile from ear to ear since Friday night, knowing in my heart that we are all making such a huge difference. So thank you so much from me and from WSB, and we hope you'll join us again next year for our 13th annual carathon. It's just an amazing thing. All right, on to the show today. There is so much to talk about. 404-872-0750 is our number. Lines are wide open. 1-800-WSB-TALK. Don't forget to go to my website, thinkglink.com. Don't forget to sign up for the free weekly newsletter. You must do this, folks. We are starting to put such interesting stuff in this newsletter. You just don't want to miss a single issue. And the only place to get it, we don't keep it online, so the only place to get it is by signing up online at thinklink.com. And then when you're there, you'll get to find out what we're writing about for CBS News each week. Lots of stuff coming up this week. Also, the Equifax Finance blog, big stuff happening there as well. It's just blown out of the water. It's a great story that's getting a lot of conversation right now, what buyers really want. We talked about it a couple of weeks ago. So blog.equifax.com. And finally, Yahoo, where there's just a whole series of do-it-yourself and decor and other kinds of things we're going to be writing about. You won't want to miss it. All right, let's get to the meat of it. I have to just start by saying the stock market's in a bubble mode. I just can't believe that we're having this conversation again. But I watched the stock market hit nearly a new high this week. We were back over 13,000. I thought to myself, how is this even possible? the stock market's in a bubble mode, and if you're not careful, you're going to get caught for the second time in a decade. That's what I was thinking to myself, because I got caught the first time. I took my eye off the ball. I knew that it was falling, it was going to fall further, and there were other things going on. You must be responsible. You must be accountable, and you must be proactive with every single thing you do with your money. And I must be those things, too. And when we were in a bubble the last time in 2007, and I knew that we were falling, I had taken all of my money and cashed it out and put it in cash. When I put it back in, it was too soon. I didn't listen to my gut. Sam and I discussed it. I listened to my financial advisor, and he said, look, it's down 20%. That's, you know, really big. And I thought, well, okay, and I started to put money in, and I wrote it all the way down. And, yeah, it's come back. But if you're not responsible, accountable, and proactive, it's easy to get caught. Like you, my 401k is not back where it was the last time the stock market hit 13,000. And look what happened in the economy this week. Our GDP fell 1.5% to 1.5%, down from 2% in the second quarter. It's a disaster. It's just slowing. You can feel everything out there just slowing down. New home sales down dramatically, like 8.5%. Yes, they're up from last year, but last year it was like a morgue out there for new homes. Nobody bought anything. It was the lowest number in history. Now we're like slightly above the lowest number in history. And everybody got all excited 2 weeks ago when the number of housing starts came up, and it was around 750,000. And that number is like the second lowest in history. And you always pull more housing starts than you actually build real houses. And the number to focus on are homes sold. And the number of new homes sold, awful. Pending home sales of existing homes, that number is down. Yeah, I'm hearing about how we don't have enough homes for sale in certain markets. I'm getting that information. I'm seeing those numbers. But you know what? Why are pending home sales down? The actual numbers of people selling and able to close because of what's going on with the appraisals is nutsy. It's just not working. Then we see mortgage interest rates fall to another record low. The 10-year treasury is at something like 1.64%. I remember not that long ago when it was at like 3.5%, and I was thinking something was wacky. Earnings, to say the least, corporate earnings are a disappointment. I watched my good friend Bob Pisani this week on CNBC talking about how everything is coming in at way below. But, of course, it looks up because you're coming from, like, you know, death warmed over, and so everything seems like it's up. And then you see the stock market. You've got all this negative information and all this news, and you've got Bernanke is worried, and then you see the U.S. economist, like, nobody thinks there's going to be a recession. Did everybody forget that in 2008, almost no economist said we were going to have a recession? They all said we were going to avoid one, including our Fed president. So the fact that Bernanke says we're going to avoid a recession doesn't really hold a lot of weight with me anymore, and it shouldn't hold a lot of weight with you. Why? Because you live in the real world, and so do I. And you've got to be responsible, you've got to be accountable, and you've got to be proactive in making decisions that are going to protect the financial priorities of your family. And so the stock market hits a high this week. Why? In the wake of all this bad news, what's going on in the U.S. that would make our stock market go up when all the other stock markets are not doing all that well? Why us? And the answer is because when you have a worldwide slowdown, which is what we're seeing now, everybody flocks to the government that's going to protect its flank. And so the U.S. stock market, despite all this bad news, looks better than everything else, and there's no place to put money, and they're shoving money into the U.S. stock market. And you know what that says? Can you say bubble? And what happens in a bubble? So we're at risk of creating a second financial bubble. And let's just take, like, school debt bubble out of the picture, right? It's just a different bubble. But we're in the danger of creating a stock market bubble for the second time in 5 years, led by the Fed, and I think it should terrify you. And here's the big picture. If you don't wake up and understand that that the stock market is not a panacea, it's not going to 30,000 anytime soon, that the downside risks are greater than the upside, and if you don't take steps to protect yourself, nobody else is going to do that for you. They're just not. because nobody cares as much about your money as you do. You're the one who sacrifices for it, you do without for it, you imagine the positive outcomes, you go to sleep at night, or maybe not. Maybe you're up at night worrying about it. You're the one who works hard for it and misses your kids' soccer games for it. Nobody else that you could hire is going to care that much about your money. And that's where personal accountability and personal responsibility and proactivity comes into play. Because you care about it. And so the challenge for you is to educate yourself to a place where you can make the right decisions. And you can do the best for your family. And you can protect them. What I hate hearing is when people say to me, I just don't get it. I don't get it. I don't understand enough about the stock market. Oh, it makes me crazy. I don't get it. At least would you manage my money? And I say to them, you know, you can do 90 to 95% of everything you need to do with your money successfully in your lifetime on your own. 90 to 95%. I wrote that in the book I wrote 15 years ago. I wrote it in a book I wrote 5 years ago. I write it in every single thing that I do. Nobody cares as much about your money as you. And if you don't step up and own that, you're going to be sorry. And I don't say it to be scary. I'm not trying to scare you into taking action. What I'm trying to do is teach you from my own experience that when I have not been responsible and I have not been proactive, I've been sorry. And so it takes some work and mental energy to focus yourself. And, you know, I'm like you. Some days I'm wiped out from all the things I have to do. I've got two boys. I've got a husband. I've got a house to run. I've got an office. I've got business and employees. It's exhausting. I get that. But at the same time, nobody cares as much about your money as you do. And every day I read about how most Americans have less than $1,000 saved, less than $25,000 saved in all retirements, pensions put together. And I think to myself, if we don't collectively, as Americans and individually, start caring more about this and being proactive with it, I'm going to have to do a very different kind of radio show in 25 years. 404-872-0750 is our number. It's 18 minutes past the hour. Let's go to the phones. George joins us on the line from Athens. Hey, George.
I enjoy your show very much.
Thank you so much. How can I help today?
Well, I'm newly retired. I'm going to do a refi. Currently, I'm into a 30-year at 4.86. I owe $176,000.
Okay.
I had an appraisal performed recently in Sticker Shop.
How low was it?
Yeah. 3 years ago, it was 235. Now it's 197.
Ooh.
Yeah. So
what kind of a loan do you have?
Well, I just think it's the...
Is it like a Fannie Freddie normal 30-year?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
So, in any case, I remember your points about doing the refi, and so I considered that. So here's what they will do for me, is my underwriter will... We'll do a 80%. I will have to lay down $23,000, and I can get a pretty good monthly. Would be monthly payments would be, you know, I would be saving about $246 a month. So
okay.
Now we could do a 90%. And closing costs would be in excess of $4,000, and I wouldn't be saving very much for the monthly payments.
Yeah, that's because you pay PMI. You don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Do you have $23,000?
I do, but earlier this year, I kept with the underwriter, kept asking almost monthly, have the rates changed, and I was going to lay down quite a big chunk, let's say. Then in the past month, my mind completely changed, and I said, you know, I may not be here 20, 25 years, so I don't care. I want to do a 30-year and have a lower payment each month and, you know, enjoy life. You know,
sure.
I'm not an old man yet, so...
That's good.
So I'm thinking when the underwriter told me this, I says, can we do a plan B? And he said, what's that? And I said, can we go with another appraiser and another lender? He says, yes, we can. And I said, let me think about that. So the question is, number one, is that advisable in your mind? And secondly, on this second appraiser person, do I pay for that out of pocket? How does that work?
Yes, you would pay for the appraiser, and you may not get a better answer. So the real question you have to ask yourself is, did the first appraiser really assess the market correctly in my neighborhood? Because they have to count foreclosures and short sales and distressed properties. So if you walk out on your doorstep and you look around and there's, you know, 10 foreclosures all priced at like 182, 197 might be the right price. So that's the first issue. A second appraisal might be throwing $400 out the window or burning it or whatever your metaphor is. If you don't want to give, if you have $100,000, let's say, in cash, and $23,000 won't even begin to use it up, and you're going to save $246 a month, I'm good with that every day of the week. But remember my 4 points for a home run refinance: lower the interest rate, lower the payment, shorten the term, which you've opted not to do, and I understand why, and manage your closing costs. And so it seems as though, for you, the question is really going to be, can you part with the $23,000 and still live a good life? Because $246 a month is going to, it's going to take a long time to get that $23,000. So if you're telling me you only have $25,000 in cash, do not do this and spend the $23,000. Stay with what you have and move on. You'll have another opportunity next year. 404-872-0750. I'm Elise Link. Be back with more on News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinklink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
It's 27 minutes past the hour on the Elise Link Show. You know, George, who we just spoke with, has some interesting, you know, an interesting question. It's this question of, do you do a refinance if the cash-in requirement is so enormous that it might X out the benefit and the safety, the personal responsibility we were talking about, right? Putting $23,000 in cash to get a $246 a month savings might not be so smart. He could just simply take $246 a month, and 12 years later, he'll finally get to, or 10 years later, he'll get to that $23,000 number. So when you are doing a refinance and you are retired or you're on a fixed income, you have to really think carefully about protecting your flank. So the $246 a month savings is good, but if you can just take that out of your savings every month and you've got a runway of 10 to 12 years, that may not be worthwhile, the refinancing part of it. So food for thought. You've got to be able to look at your finances and figure out what's going to make exactly the most sense for you. All right, it is 11:28 on News Talk WSB. I'm Elise Glink. When we come back, we're going to take more of your questions. A lot of people want to know about the stock market and this bubble idea. Happy to talk about that all day long. So stay tuned to News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinklink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
36 minutes past the hour, News Talk WSB. I'm Elise Glink. Thank you so much for joining me today. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. I can see that our computer is feeling like we should be playing more music. Online, thinklink.com. So we've been talking about personal responsibility and how things can change. And Jesse joins us on the line with a question about her IRA, about your IRA, Jesse?
Yes, that's correct. Good morning.
Good morning. So tell me what's going on with that.
Well, I'm 55 years old, and I took an early retirement from AT&T a few years ago, so I have an IRA that has about, I don't know, $600,000 in it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but I'm continuing to work at a different place, so I'm not retired yet. But I would like to retire, you know, before I get to be 65 at 59 or something. Anyway, I heard you mention the bubble. Obviously, my IRA dropped in value when we had the last, you know, collapse in 08. And I made my portfolio a little more conservative then, so it hasn't ridden up back to where it was.
Right.
But anyway, it's certainly ridden up some. So I don't know now, based on, you know, you talk about bubbles, and yet, you know, I don't know how much risk to take.
Well,
I want to be in the stock market. I don't really like bonds and just cash. I mean, what do you do?
Well, why don't? Okay, so let's take a step back and say, you know, you say to me, I don't like bonds and I don't like cash. You've made your portfolio more conservative. How have you made your portfolio more conservative if you don't like bonds and cash?
Well, I mean, that's how we've done it. But you did it
even though kicking and screaming you did it.
Yeah, well, I mean, I have I don't do it, manage it myself. I have a financial advisor, and they, you know, yes, we did that. I mean,
bonds and cash, but he said you have to have some bonds and cash. Let me just tell you something. I saw in the New York Times this morning that PIMCO Total Return Bond Fund has had like a 9%+ average annual return these last 5 or 6 years. You couldn't find that anywhere else.
No.
So when you say to me, I don't like bonds, I don't know what you mean why you don't like bonds. But I will say to you that understanding your portfolio and agreeing with your financial advisor, like what troubles me, Jesse, is when you say it's basically kicking and screaming that he's dragged me across the bond and cash threshold.
Yes.
That makes me nervous for you, because it makes me understand that you don't understand what those kinds of securities and equities can do for you.
Well, I mean, I realize they can safeguard you on the downside, but they don't seem to have very much benefit when things start going up. I feel like we've been riding back up here for the last 3 years or something, and...
But okay, so Jesse, let me just repeat what I said, because I don't think you're hearing me. According to the New York Times this morning, PIMCO Total Return has had a 9.5% average annual return the last 5-6 years.
Okay.
Has your stock market return had a 9.5% return? Because mine hasn't.
No, mine hasn't either.
So when you say to me it doesn't do much when things are going up, you know, I'm here to say I don't think you understand that fully. I mean,
okay.
You know, all respect, due respect, I think you don't fully understand what balancing the risk really means. And good for your financial advisor for pulling you in that direction, but shame on him or her for not helping you understand so that you're fully on board with your portfolio. When I talk about taking responsibility and being accountable, that means you need to really understand the choices you're making. Because otherwise you call me and you don't understand.
Right.
So I challenge you to go back to your financial advisor and sit there and say, okay, I called the Elise Gling Show, and she told me I don't really understand why bonds and cash are a really important part of my portfolio when I'm 55. Can you please explain it in a way that I'm going to understand?
Okay.
Will you promise me?
Yes, and we've had that conversation before.
But it's not getting through.
Well, no, it's getting through. I just, you know, everybody liked it a few years ago when things were... riding up.
Yeah, I liked it in the 90s, too, when my portfolio was making 22% a year and I didn't have to actually do anything about it. I loved that time. I was all over that time.
Right, yes, I know. So I guess what I'm really asking you right now is based on your suggestion that a bubble is coming again, I should talk to them and maybe make it even more conservative. That's really what I'm asking.
I am saying to you that your portfolio, if it's 85% in stocks, no matter how conservative you think that is, that is too risky. So,
right.
Yeah.
It's not. It might be 60-40 or something like that.
I don't know that that's right. When you tell me you want to retire in 4 years and then you may live another 30 years beyond that. So
right.
You need to go back and say, let's take a look at the Monte Carlo scenario, which gives me something like 700 possible outcomes of the stock market. And let's look at how my portfolio stacks up against the best of times and the worst of times. And if this is a bubble and it's going to go down 40-50% before it comes back up again, what does that look like for me if I actually want to retire in 4 years? Because if you have 30 years to go, I wouldn't even be that worried about, as long as you've got like a decent mix of bonds, cash, stock, I don't really care if you've got 30 years to go. I care when you tell me you've got 4 years to go. So that to me says you've got to take a little bit more of a proactive stance and understand better what he's telling you to do.
Because
you don't know yet.
I understand.
All right?
All right,
I want to just say, Jesse, you can do this. Like, I know you can do this, and you, because you already care enough to have saved all this money. Nobody gets $600,000 in an IRA from a job they had for 30 years unless you diligently did the right thing and put money away and thought about your future. And you're going to have options that most Americans won't have whenever it comes to take your retirement because you've done the right thing so far.
Right. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Let me know how it goes. 43 minutes past the hour, 404-872-0750. Michelle joins us on the line. So, Michelle, you're thinking about your retirement as well?
Yes. And how are you? And thank you so much for answering my call.
Sure.
Ironically, I worked for AT&T as well.
This must be AT&T retiree day.
Yeah, I know, right? Except I deferred my pension. I'm 62, and I received a letter that I need to respond to asking if I want to take a lump sum amount of $206,384. And that would be versus when I turned 65, getting a monthly payment of $1,564.
Okay.
Something to that effect. So I have my own business. I could use the money to expand. I just wanted to know what you thought. My family thought that you would be a great person to help me with making the decision.
Well, Michelle, let's think this through, right?
Thank you.
So, at $1,500 a month, roughly, it's $18,000-$19,000 a year.
Right.
So, what they're saying is that if you live more than 10 years or 12 years, the monthly payments are probably a better deal.
Right.
Unless you can take the $206,000 and you can do better investing it than they can. Now, back in the 90s, as I just said to Jesse, when everybody was making 20% a year in their investments without even thinking about it because everybody was a stock market genius, that might have been possible. But I worry that you might only get a 3 to 4% average annual return.
Okay.
And you will burn, if you actually need that money to live on, you might burn through it in 10 to 12 years. So now you're 74. I assume you're going to get some money from Social Security.
Right. I think that I looked at that and when I turn 65, it's like another $1,590 a month.
So you're going to get the same amount. Okay. Mm-hmm. So you're looking at some point in time, at 65, of getting about $3,000 a month to live on.
Mm-hmm.
How does that work for you?
Not well.
Okay. And so what makes
I could do it, but it would just be, I would prefer having more money to live off of. As I get older, as most people probably would.
Well, because it's going to cost
make it work.
You. Can you still work? Are you going to work?
I would still work, yeah. I have my own business, and I'm pretty healthy right now.
And what does your own business bring in?
My own business brings in about $60,000 a year.
On top of it. Okay. So you're going to keep working at that?
Yeah, I want to expand my business. I really want to, do some things. I actually would like to invest in some things. I don't really have a lot of investment money just laying around, but I thought an option might be to take the package, maybe roll over half of it, and keep the other half for my business.
Well, you're going to have to pay taxes on that.
Yeah, and I think that's about, it's 20% tax before I even get the check.
Yeah, so, but then there's more taxes on top of that because now it looks like your income's a lot higher.
Yeah.
So here's what I want you to think about.
Okay.
If you're able to have a business that generates on the side, aside from your own income, $5,000 a month or $60,000 a year.
Okay.
And now you're going to have an option of another $1,500 a month from Social Security, which, by the way, if you don't need that money, you should defer it to 67 or even 70 because it'll jump up in value for you.
Exactly, a lot.
So I want you to think about the total picture and how you could expand your business without tapping into the $206,000. And if the guarantee of that money coming in when you no longer feel like working or, God forbid, you can't work at this side business, how you're going to feel knowing that you have at least $3,000 a month guaranteed coming in. Because I think there's something about having that guarantee that is very, very helpful. And again, when I say be accountable, be responsible, be proactive, I don't necessarily mean throw caution to the wind, grab $206,000 and blow through it in a year. That's not what I'm talking about.
I know.
So what I'm talking about is finding a way for you to secure some sort of retirement that's going to provide you with stability so that you can keep working and bringing in money as long as you can. But if you can't, you still have something. My concern is you take the 206, you blow through 100, now you have 100 that you're investing, and maybe that's bringing you $4,000 a year. And now you've got your business, and in 5 years, let's say you can't for whatever reason do your business. And so now, instead of having $3,000 a month, you have $3,000 a month plus, like, say, $400. So you have $3,400 versus $6,000 a month or whatever it is. You're not able to support yourself on that. So what I'm saying is understanding the choice you make is about understanding the worst-case scenario, not just the best-case scenario.
Okay, great. Thank you.
You need a piece of paper and a pencil. That's what I'm thinking. And you need to start doing some numbers.
Okay.
And looking at both sides of the equation. Because if you're smart enough to build a side business that gets you $60,000 a year, you're smart enough to figure out what it would look like if that goes away and all you have left is your stocks and your bonds and then maybe and your Social Security. And then maybe you also are going to get... I don't know what other kind of money you might have from other things that you've done in your life. Like maybe you have a 401k that's going to be converted over.
Right.
So what does all that money look like? And how is it that you can make the absolute best use of that money so that you understand exactly what you need to do? And I don't have enough information to say to you, do this or do this. I would love to be able to tell you what to do. I really would. But if you don't understand it yourself, and if you don't think about what's going to make the smartest move for you and what that looks like, you're never fully going to understand it. 50 minutes past the hour on the Elise Gling Show. Don't forget to check out today's Atlanta Journal-Constitution for all the information about our big voting thing coming up on Tuesday. You want to make sure that you understand that. We're going to talk about it I don't know if we're going to talk about it, but they're going to talk about it in the news in just a minute. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. I'm Elise Gling. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more on News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinkglink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
54 minutes past the hour, News Talk WSB. I'm Elise Gling. Thanks for listening today. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK, online, thinkglink.com. Glink.com. You know, if you're not participating on Twitter this morning, I'm there and tweeting during the show. Would love to have a conversation online. There's always something interesting happening, and you're missing out half the stuff if you're not on Twitter anyway while we do this show, since it's so interactive. So at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. Don't forget to follow me there and join the conversation. Dan from Locust Grove has a couple of questions about your pensions. Is that right, Dan?
Yes, it is.
So tell me what's going on.
Well, 10 years ago when I retired as a firefighter, I had what I thought was a great pension because I had two pensions, a state firefighter and a county firefighter pension, and also had some disability with a back problem. So it worries me now that the politics of my pension, the government is continually trying to get hold of it. There's a lot of money, and they want to use it, obviously, for the government. And what worries me is I always thought my pension was so strong that I didn't save as much as I should have. You know, I've only got about $20,000 in savings, and I'm 62 years old, thinking my pensions were real strong. What would my options be to protect myself in case I do lose that pension?
Well, which pensions are you... I'm trying to understand what the concern really is. Are you? Do you have pensions that are state pensions?
I have one state pension that's fairly secure, but I have a county pension with DeKalb County.
Okay.
And for years, they've been trying to get into the pension fund, politics-wise.
Right.
And I know we have a lawyer set up to protect that, but I could wake up one day and that money could be gone.
Well, I don't think it would be completely gone. I could understand, and it usually when these things change, it's going forward. It's not what's grandfathered in. But there are pensions that are unaffordable to maintain.
Right.
There just are. And they were incredibly, when you look at the aggregate, they were incredibly rich. And for even individually, they seemed rich. And there are people who take advantage of them, and they get profiled in the paper and all the rest. But for somebody like you, unfortunately, you can't protect your pension any of, you know, you're sort of stuck with what happens with the larger group. I can't think of a way for you to separate out your money. Are you still working now?
No, I've been retired for 10 years and hope to live a few more. So I'm hopefully my goal in life is to make more money retired than I made working.
Exactly. When I ask you if you're still working, I mean, are you working? Are you making money in some way?
No, my wife has a photography business, and I help her a little bit, but I am disabled, got a bad back, so I can't do much else except sit at the computer and help her a little bit.
Okay, so what you can do, Dan, is you can figure out a way sitting at the computer with a bad back that you actually can make a difference either in your wife's business or doing something else, because I think the answer to your question is the where you started. You didn't save much, and now you need to save more, and so focusing on places you can save in your day-to-day lives, and focusing on ways to bring in other sorts of revenue are going to be key. And I don't know if that means writing a blog about being a firefighter and what that was like, or finding some other way to make a difference. But you're going to have to do that, because that's part of the taking responsibility theme. 404-872-0750. I'm Elise Blank. Stay tuned. I'll be back with more on News Talk WSB.
It's live, expert money and real estate advice every Sunday. Elise Blink is on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
It's 12:07, 7 minutes past the hour, and I've been on Twitter where Tony just said he's a first timer listening to the show, loves it. Thank you very much, Tony. Delighted to have you hang out with us. Our number 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Talking about personal responsibility today and understanding that you have to make some changes in order to take advantage and protect what's most important to you. 404-872-0750. Online, thinkglink.com, thinkglink.com. Don't forget to join me on Twitter. I'm at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. We tweet during the show, having pretty robust conversation online, as usual, while we're kind of talking. We talk on the air. We talk on Twitter. There's all kinds of stuff going on. And don't forget to take a look at some of the other properties in the ThinkGlink community, the Equifax Finance blog, for which I am managing editor. We have amazing personal finance experts every week talking about things that are very important to your everyday finances. And then, of course, CBS News, where we look at the news of the week as well. Well, I wanted to kind of run down the mortgage situation this week. I briefly mentioned we hit another record low, And, of course, that's because economic news around the world is tilted in a downward direction. So there was all kinds of worries this week about Spain's ability to manage its fiscal situation. And that means that global investors are looking for a safe place to go. And where are they going to go? They're going to go to the U.S. And so they pump money into the safety of U.S. Treasury debt, and that just drives yields lower, which means that mortgage interest rates go down. So mortgage interest rates going down has been good, except it's not really doing what everybody hoped it would do, which is juice the U.S. economy. So we've seen a modestly improving housing market, but it's not counterbalancing all the rest of it, what's going on in the headlines. And it looks like the Fed is really starting to seriously consider another round of bond buying, which makes me very nervous, and it's probably its own bubble. But how much lower can you go? You know, you've got 30-year fixed-rate loans averaging about 3.6%. Some places you can get as low as 3.3%. Average amount of points is less than a third of a point. A point is 1% of the loan amount. 5-1 adjustable rate mortgage, fixed for 5 years at 2.73%. Average points less than a quarter of a percent. I mean, these are insane numbers. It makes me want to go out and scoop up every single investment property I can possibly find. 15-year rates down incredibly, are looking at around 3%, even 2.75%. I mean, the numbers, how many times can I say it? I mean, this is just the most unique time to be able to buy or refinance your property. If you can lock in your property for 15 years at under 3%, and you know you're going to be there, I'm going to take that as much as I can, all the way, as far as I can. It's just an incredible deal for consumers. The problem is not everybody can qualify. And as we heard earlier from one of our callers, you know, he's watching the equity still leak out of his house. So if it doesn't seem like you have enough equity now, you're never going to be able to qualify to refinance. So that is the conundrum that we're all facing right now. 404-872-0750. Robert joins us on the line from Douglasville. So, Robert, you're thinking about being a real estate investor?
Yes, I'm thinking about being a real estate investor. I know you talk about it a lot, so I guess I just want to know the do's and don'ts. I hear a lot, lately I've been hearing a lot of people who have like these rental houses, and they are saying like how they wish they can do it.
Because they probably bought at the highest part of the market. Their rental property is now severely underwater, and they're facing decades of losses going forward. I totally get why that is a nightmare, not a good news story.
Yeah.
So the good news for you is that home prices are down at the most affordable level they've been at in generations, both because of mortgage interest rates and also because property prices have just really fallen off a cliff. So, but tell me, step back for a minute and tell me why you want to be a real estate investor. What's driving you to this?
It's something that I've always wanted to get into, and I wanted the extra income, and I've been like trying to do other things, set up for my, I'm only 20, I'm 26, so I just set up for I'm a truck driver, so the next thing I want to do is do something that I can actually make some extra income in, which is like real estate, like which is like buying something, maybe flipping them. But then I was thinking, well, if I do the rental side, I could actually get something every month forever, really.
So, Robert, just from listening to you, a couple of things strike me. First of all, if you're always on the road in your truck and you're never at home, it's really hard to buy investment real estate. Now, how many hours a week do you drive your truck?
I work a normal 9-to-5. I'm a local driver.
Local driver, great. So you're not doing cross-country and
those?
Okay. So what I love about that is that when you're done, you're still local, so you can check on your properties and you can drive around and see what's going on with them. Because the biggest problem that most people have with being an investor in real estate is they don't actively manage those properties. I had somebody send me an email earlier that the easiest thing in the world to do is hire a manager and they manage the properties, blah, blah, blah. But I'm here to tell you that's so much money that's taken off the table when you do that, that it's really hard to make any sort of meaningful profit. And there are costs involved. So you have to be really thoughtful about how much you're going to spend and how much you're going to save. So one thing that you can do is to educate yourself on these things. I have a series of ebooks at Amazon.com that are, there are series, you can buy them individually for 99 cents, or you can buy all five together for $2.99. And I would like you to go to Amazon and buy these, because it sounds to me like you don't even have the beginnings of an understanding of how to identify amazing opportunities and how to, you know, find the best mortgage interest rates and how to put together that team of people that is going to help you. And I'm going to try and figure out a way to help everybody find these teams of people, because I can tell from my emails and from the Twitter feeds and all the rest that finding qualified people to help is one of the biggest problems that people have, and I'm going to find a way to solve that. But in the meantime, because I can't do that overnight, educate yourself, Robert. Figure out what neighborhood is nearby where there are great deals and opportunities. Learn how to get online at HUDHomestore.com to figure out who's going to be the right person to help you with these properties, and you're going to be able to use as an agent to buy them, an accountant to help you do the financial management, the appraiser, the contractor, the attorney to make sure that you're not getting screwed by the legal terms or liens that weren't discharged in the foreclosures. All of those are really important pieces. The one thing I don't want you to do is I don't want you to go out tomorrow and plunk down $15,000 and have no idea what you're doing, because that's the fastest way to lose money in investment real estate. But by being thoughtful, by educating yourself, all the rest, you're going to be able to really understand it. And one thing we're going to do is I'm going to host another investing in real estate seminar this fall in Atlanta. I'm definitely going to do it. We were talking about it at the station this week when I was there for Carathon. We're going to find a way to do it this fall because there is so much interest. And I really believe what I'm telling you, that this is the best time. I've got my two investment properties that we have right now, just got them repainted, re-rented for 2 years each. And we're making money on both. And so if I can do it, I know you can do it. Because, you know what? I'm smart, but I'm no genius. All I do is work really hard, try to educate myself better than everybody else, make smart decisions that are proactive and responsible. And I know that I can teach this to you as well. So that's what we're going to do this fall. But in the meantime, we've got these ebooks up online. I'm working on a fabulous 1.5-hour, 90-minute webinar that you'll be able to access later this fall as well. I want to give you all of the tools to make these really smart decisions, Robert. 16 minutes past the hour, 404-872-0750. Kay joins us on the line. Hey, Kay, so what's going on with you?
Yeah, I'm a little bit concerned about, I guess, my situation, what kind of financial state I'll be in if something should happen to my husband, God forbid.
Is he ill?
Oh, no, absolutely not.
Okay, good.
Great deal. He has a military pension and disability, and he is still working.
Do you work?
No, I do not. I raised seven children.
Seven children. You were working hard.
Well, I worked part-time up until they all got in high school, and then I did work full-time then. But I guess my concern is, as long as he is alive and well, then we are okay financially. We were not favored. And we have about...
Were you worried about not being a saver when you were not... I mean, I understand you had seven
always.
Children, but were you worried
always.
About that?
Always.
Yeah. It's hard.
Anyway.
It's hard to do that. I mean, I look at how much my two boys eat.
Yeah. It was stressful. But anyway, I would like to go back to work, but my husband makes quite a bit of money, and I think it will push him. He prefers I not into another tax bracket he does not want to be in. We are underwater in our house. We do qualify for a 15-year mortgage.
Okay.
And I am curious if that might, it will bump our house payment up $700. We can afford that.
How many years do you have left on your mortgage now?
Probably 30.
Oh, you just refinanced?
Yes.
Okay. So in my four rules for a home loan refinance, one is lowering the interest rate, which you would do. Number two is lowering the payment, but it's going to bump yours up. But you've got that big one, which is number three, which is shortening the loan term by half.
Yes.
And that is really interesting. Now, how old is your husband, and will he work for the next 15 years?
He's right now getting probably so. He's 58 years old.
Okay. So this takes him to 73.
Yes.
Okay. And you think he might work until 73?
He says he is. I couldn't tell you.
So here's the thing, Kay. What concerns me is not whether you go back to work or not, although it sounds to me like you want to do something.
Yes.
And I think your husband should indulge you, because if you managed a household and of seven children and him and you worked, you probably are going crazy, stir crazy, with extra time in your hands.
Oh, well, I have 15 grandchildren, so I stay pretty busy.
You have to get a few things to do. But it sounds to me like you still want to contribute and do more.
Yeah.
So I think you and your husband should have another conversation about that. Because I think that you need to feel, you need to quell, and this is my sense of you, you need to quell this, the nervousness inside that if something happens to him, you're not going to be okay.
Well, I you know, with his survivor benefit, I would have half of his military retirement, plus Nazi. That would be about $3,000 a month, plus his Social Security, which would be about anywhere from 25 to 32, depending upon how long he worked.
Let's just say $3,000. So you would have about $6,000 a month.
Yeah.
Is there any other money put away anywhere? You said you weren't savers, but I'm just wondering.
No, only what's in his retirement plan.
Okay, and now you're making, you said he's making a lot of money. I mean, you can afford $700 a month. What's the savings plan look like right now for you?
Well,
does he have any insurance?
Oh, yes. He has $1 million worth of life insurance.
All right, well, that should be a some comfort to you as long as he keeps making those payments.
Oh, well, he makes, I handle all finances, so yeah.
Oh, I'm loving, I love that you just said that.
Yeah, everything, that's all good.
So why are you nervous?
Well, I'm just afraid, you know, what will happen to me if this is only, his life insurance is only, just only 75.
Okay. And he can't extend that? And there's no other, that he's, it's just a, what, a term life policy?
Yeah, it's level term, and I called to check into that, but it bumps, I mean, it gets so very expensive.
Right, but he may be able to afford a less expensive policy that he can ladder now, even at 58.
Oh.
So maybe it's not a $1 million policy. Maybe he can buy one now for the next 20 years or 25 years. That would be $250,000. But it would extend past 75 when this one would end.
Right.
So maybe there's something you can look into there.
Okay.
And I know you want to get rid of the mortgage. So if he dies before, really the issue is what happens if he dies before the mortgage. But if he dies before the mortgage burns out, he's going to, you're going to be in a situation where you're going to have the insurance. And then if he works and you have this 15-year mortgage, the mortgage is going to be paid off. So you won't have to worry about that at all. And you're going to have even more money back in your budget. I think, Kay, you really need to sit down and run the numbers, because I'm hearing that you're stressed about this and you're probably up at night thinking about it. And it sounds to me like you're in really good financial shape, but take the responsibility, run the numbers. You're going to sleep better at night. Trust me. 404-872-0750. I'm Elise Glenk. Be right back with more on News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinkglink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
28 minutes past the hour, we're going to do the WSB McDonald's Weekend Prize Pack. The value, $300. It includes tickets to see ABBA with the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra August 4th at Chastain Park Amphitheater, produced by ASO Presents. A Kroger $50 gift card and a maintenance agreement for two, count them, two, complete HVAC tune-ups for your home, courtesy of Shoemate Air Conditioning and Heating. Call the Prize Pack line, 404-741-0750. We'll take the fifth call. Be nice to Crystal, because she is the one taking your phone calls today. And don't forget to tune in Monday, 4 to 6 on AM 750 and 95.5 FM News Talk WSB for a special debate on Peace Floss with Scott Slade. More on that later. Stay tuned. I'll be right back with more on News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinkglink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
Another illusion. 36 minutes past the hour, News Talk WSB. I'm Elise Glenk, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK, online all the time. Think. Glink.com, and also on Twitter, where you can follow me at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K, having quite the conversation with Monkey Bone 71. about the bubble idea that I have sort of started the show with, the idea that the U.S. stock market has got to be in a bubble because there's just nothing supporting this kind of rise other than the fact that there's nowhere else in the world to put your money. So you're going to put it in the place that you think is going to do the best or at least keep it safe, which I guess for most people seems to be the U.S. stock market. So when it's not based on reality, that's a bigger problem. So something sort of interesting going on at Glink, at GLINK, which is my Twitter handle. And as I say on every show, if you're not actually there hanging out with us, you're missing half the conversation. 37 minutes past the hour, Charles of Atlanta. Congratulations on winning the ABBA tickets and all the other stuff with the prize pack. Enjoy. Kathleen joins us on the line from Marietta about, you've got a question about your townhouse and selling it.
Did you say Kathleen?
I did. Is that you?
Yes, that's me. I just didn't hear the Kathleen.
It is.
Yes. It's not been a very good investment. I bought it in 82 for 76.
Wow.
It's a fee simple in Cobb County. And then the max it ever sold for was 170. But it seems like it's kind of gone foreclosure city.
Oh,
and
that's
I'm
a problem.
And I'm 63, and I'm going to try to retire or go part-time work in 3 years.
So are you thinking about selling it? And now, I mean, I assume in 1982, you what paid off the mortgage completely, or
no?
How are
it
you?
Does not pay off until I have some medical problems. It doesn't pay off until
2017.
Yeah.
So there must not be that much left though on it.
No, there's not.
How much?
30 something.
Okay.
But I can't decide whether because whatever your opinion is, I just don't know if the market's going to change that much because it's. Gone so much rentals. There's so many people that bought in here for 140 to 170, and those people that have good credit, they just rent them. And
yeah.
The people that lose them, you know, then you know that's why we've had more foreclosures than anything.
Well, what about? Are you living there now?
Well, I am, but I was debating whether or not to try to sell it.
Why didn't you
fix or rent it?
So, what are they selling for?
In the 50s.
50s?
Yeah, and my next door neighbor sold for 80. The only homeowner that purchased her sold for 84, but hers was a little bit nicer than mine.
Okay. And
so I was
how much are they renting for?
Well, a major company in Atlanta's got my floor plan for $1,200, which I thought was high. I thought, you know, I knew 2 years ago one rented for $925 by a for sale by owner type guy, the owner, not the real estate agent.
So, Kathleen, let me stop you there and ask you to take a step back.
Mm-hmm.
What is your goal with retiring? What do you really in your heart want to do?
I probably don't care about being a landlord at my age, but I thought if I held on to it, it'd give me a little extra, maybe a little extra income, but it might be not worth the hassle.
So $1,200 a month, and what are your expenses? But let's just say $1,000 a month or $12,000 a year. What are your expenses? How much do you pay for that mortgage?
I'd say $800 now, but I have that school tax exemption in Cobb because I'm 62, so it would probably go up to $850.
Okay, so that's what you're paying. Is that taxes included in that and insurance?
Yes.
Okay. So what else do you have? Because that right there, if you can rent it for $1,000 and you're paying out $850, gives you $150 a month.
Yeah.
But you're going to have other fees. Like, there'll be times when it's not rented.
Mm-hmm.
And there'll be other expenses, like repainting every once in a while. So that doesn't give you that much of a benefit.
Yeah,
if you
sell a new heating and air, new roof,
yeah,
new hot water. So that'll be good for a while. But
yeah. So, but meanwhile, you know, if you sell it and you pocket $70,000, $80,000, because it's a primary residence, so you're not going to actually pay taxes on that, that's money that you can use for quite a while.
Yeah, and I probably wouldn't pocket all that. I would probably just pocket about 40.
You have to pay off the mortgage.
Yeah.
So
probably 30 something by the time I pay everybody.
So you have to decide if in the next 5 years, if this property is going to go up enough to justify the investment of your time to get about 150, maybe 200 bucks a month.
Yeah, and depending
that's
on what you think.
That's 22,000 a year.
The simple townhouse market has not been good.
No, it's terrible.
And it's my opinion. I don't think it's going to change that much more, but I just wanted your opinion.
I don't think it's going to I don't know exactly where this is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know exactly what part of the block it's on. You know, I can't tell you. But I will tell you that in general, over the next 5 to 10 years, Georgia's going to have to figure out a way to work out of the foreclosure disaster it's in. And unfortunately, a fee simple townhouse that was bought in 1982, was it new in 82?
It was.
So it's like, you know, 30 years old this year.
I know, it is. It's
so
amazing.
Happy birthday, because that's not so great. So you've got a 30-year-old townhouse competing with new stuff. Lots and lots and lots of new stuff. In fact, I would argue that the majority of what's now in the Atlanta metro area is new compared to that.
Oh, yeah.
So you're fighting new, and you've got, you might, you know, be able to rent it forever, which would be great, because maybe it's a great neighborhood and people do want to live there. They just don't want to own there. So in 10 years, maybe the property price will go from, say, 60 or 80 to maybe 90 or 95. So
yeah.
you will invest all that time to pay off your mortgage, right? Because you're going to pay it off in 2017.
Uh-huh.
So you pay it off. Maybe what you do is you rent it to 2017, and then when you sell it, it maybe it's up a little bit from where it is, but now you get all the money because you don't have a mortgage to pay off. So maybe that's your compromise. That's only 5 years from now.
Yeah.
So you're making a little money while you go along the path, and you know, in 2017, now you get $60,000 or $70,000 or $80,000 that you pocket, as opposed to $30,000 or $40,000. That's not a bad deal.
Or is it worth keeping as investment income? Then it would be.
Well, guess what? In 5 years, you'll be able to make that decision, and then you're keeping. You've got $12,000 to $14,000 a year coming in, and that's a significant amount of money. So those are your choices. My suggestion, my best advice, is hold for 5 years, pay off the mortgage, make the investment of being a landlord, and figure out where, and in 5 years you can reassess if you feel like managing it any further, if the income is going to manage it, if the property prices have gone up, whatever it is for you. But that may be your best bet. The other thing you could do is in 3 to 4 years, you could rent it with a lease with an option to buy. And then by the time they buy, the mortgage will be gone. They're already in there, and maybe you become the bank for them, and then they just pay you interest on the money.
Mm-hmm.
So there's lots and lots of different options once that mortgage is paid off. And I think for you, the thing you have to do is understand if you're willing to make the investment of time for the next 4.5 to 5 years. It's really only 4.5 years till 2017 to getting to the place where that mortgage is actually gone. 404-872-0750. Jenny joins us on the line from Snellville. So, Jenny, you've got a question about your 401k?
Yes, I have several that their IRAs. I've rolled out my 401ks when my companies were sold, so I've ended up with companies I work for were sold. So I've ended up with, like, little bits here, 20s and 30s, but they're not.
How many are we talking about?
I've got about 5 of them.
You have 5 individual IRAs.
Right.
Why didn't you just roll them into the same account?
Well, at about the time I got ready to do that was when we were going through all the economic changes, and I was a little bit concerned about having all my eggs in one basket.
But Jenny, it's just a holding pot, right?
Right.
It's not that those investments are the same. You can, once the money's in the pot, you can invest it anywhere you want. You could be fully diversified with just 3 holdings, a PEMCO total return or another total bond fund, a total stock market fund, and cash.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it wouldn't matter. You don't need 5 separate IRAs where you're paying 5 separate fees.
Well, that was part of my concern, too, was how much my exit fees were going to turn out to be once I pull them out of some of these things.
But you could buy the same things. If you really were that concerned, you could make a list of what you own. And whether you own Apple stock in 4 accounts or Apple stock in 1 account,
doesn't matter.
It's Apple stock.
Yeah.
So you have to really, but to me, not only are you wasting all this money with 5 separate accounts, please don't tell me they're in 5 separate institutions.
They are, because wherever it rolled out, the companies, they just, you know, that's where they rolled them out too.
So you're killing me, because now it's 5 separate companies that you have to remember that you have stuff at, and it's 5 separate reports, and 5 separate, aren't you, I mean, how are you sleeping at night trying to remember where everything is? Jenny! First.
So I guess what you're telling me is that I need to combine these things.
Yeah. I mean, first rule of money management, make it easy.
mm-hmm.
right? You're going to be so much more effective and make such smarter decisions when it's easy, and it's easy because it's all in one place.
Okay.
Like, don't you want to go to one investment company, whether it's Charles Schwab or it's Fidelity or whoever it is, and look at your dashboard and everything's in one place?
Yes.
It's so much easier.
Mm. I guess my concerns were just that we had, my husband has money in ING.
Yeah.
And they
company.
Were, you know, they were about to go under at one time. It's like, that was my, I think what got the thinking started was, do I
You're
want
You're thinking like if Fidelity and Charles Schwab and ING all go under at the
if,
same
yeah,
time, what's going to happen?
If I put it in one place and that thing, and that company goes under.
Okay, so let me explain something to you, because it's clear to me that you don't understand how protected you are. Right?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So what you're really not getting is that when you have money that's invested in, let's say, an S&P 500 index fund.
Uh-huh.
Even if ING, which is the conduit for that, goes under, that money is still supposed to be there. It's protected, and there's insurance on that account in case something happens.
Up to $100,000, right?
I think it's up to $500,000, actually.
Okay.
But the point is that this is separate, segregated money. Now, I have heard from several people just today about financial advisors who absconded with money. Okay?
Yeah.
So mixing money, when you have individual people out there and they're stealing money from you, Bernie Madoff comes to mind.
Uh-huh.
Stanford comes to mind. That's different. You're talking about a huge financial institution like a Fidelity, which has something like $20 or $30 billion in assets, or more than that, and that money is supposed to be segregated. Now, I understand the need for putting it all in different baskets, but let's just say you had it in Apple stock, Google stock, and IBM stock.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter where you hold it. You are a registered investor of those companies. So then, not only would the investment company have to fail, but those companies that you are invested in would also have to fail for that money to go up in smoke.
Okay.
If you're invested in an S&P 500 account, 500 companies would have to go up in smoke for your investment to disappear.
Okay.
But that's why I recommend top quality companies. That's why I put my money in brand name companies. I'm not saying the investment company. I'm saying that the financial institution or institutions where we have our money are huge, big, recognizable names like Fidelity and Charles Schwab and TIAA Crust, because the likelihood is, I guess it's there is a possibility, it's very, very small. So, but having it in five separate companies where you're spending a couple $100 a year or $300 a year, now you've got five companies to remember and five companies to put survivor benefits and five companies to manage all that stuff and the paperwork, you're killing yourself.
Yeah, and I don't know enough really to manage it myself, so, you know.
Well, but you do.
Mm.
You know what I said at the beginning of the show. Nobody cares about this money as much as you do, and you can learn. I am not such a financial genius. Let me just tell you, it's years of educating myself and reading up and writing books and learning the lingo. Like, I think financial advisors, by and large, throw around fancy lingo so that you pay more money to them. Because you think they're so much smarter than you are, but they're not. I have yet to meet a financial advisor who is so much smarter than me that I felt like blown away, and that's the person I wanted to invest with. One of my friends who's the smartest financial advisor he is like, you know what, all you need are three basic funds. A total stock market fund, a total bond fund, and an international stock fund. And once you have those, then you just play around with what percentage is in each, and you're done.
So you're still thinking that we need to have some in stocks?
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. You don't sound old enough to be out of stocks completely, because you'd have to be dead.
Well,
are you dead?
Because
this would be
dead.
A very unusual phone call. So
okay.
You're not dead. So you sound very young, and to me, in my mind, if you're in your 50s or younger, you're going to have at least half of your money in stocks.
Okay.
But
right.
You're going to have a mix of a total stock market fund and an international fund, because you're going to have to get exposure all over the world. So you are smart enough to do that, Jenny, because you dialed the show and asked the question. So I know that you're curious to learn. You have to give yourself credit. You got to take responsibility. You have to be accountable for what you're doing, and you have to own your mistakes when you make them, and you have to be proactive. And I think you're all of those things. So when you say you can't do it, I'm here to tell you, you go, girl, because I know you can. 404-872-0750, 51 minutes past the hour. We have a very special show tomorrow afternoon, 4 to 6. Scott Slade's going to moderate a debate on T-Splos one day before the pivotal vote. And then we're going to have wall-to-wall coverage of primary election night, the T-Splos vote. That is so hard to say, by the way. Tuesday evening here on News Talk 750 WSB. So make sure you tune in. This, I think tomorrow, I mean, Scott is just absolutely amazing at this. He moderates the debate like nobody else. You're not going to want to miss it, especially since everybody's so divided over this thing. All right, 404-872-0750. Stay tuned. I'll be right back with more News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinklink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
57 minutes past the hour, 12:57. That means our time is coming to an end for today. But just a couple of thoughts before I walk off and into the sun, this hot, hot, hot sunshine, which I hope you're enjoying. First, remember the four rules for a home run refinance. If you're looking around this week, you want to lower the interest rate, you want to lower your monthly payment, you want to shorten the loan term, that's the big one, and you want to manage your closing costs in a way that really helps you understand how much you're paying for it and what you're doing. It is so important that you think before you sign. I can't even stress this enough. Our whole today, the whole show has been about personal responsibility, personal accountability, personal proactivity. And all of that comes down to taking control of what you're doing, whether you're refinancing your mortgage, you're looking for a loan modification, you're investigating a financial advisor. All of this is so important, and it all comes down to you. And the good news, the really amazing news, is that I know you can do it. All right, 58 minutes past the hour. I am going to head out of here and go enjoy the rest of my afternoon. I am planning a little home improvement project that I'll be telling you about. I sort of hinted at it on the phone when I was with Walter on Thursday night during our Inside and Out of the House show, a little patio thing. So I've got somebody coming over to look at that. I'm going to go enjoy the rest of my day, and I hope you do the same. Sign up on Twitter. Follow me. I'm at Glink. Do the daily, the weekly newsletter. You don't want to miss it at thinklink.com. And be sure, whatever you do, be thoughtful about your money. Have a great week, everybody.